for our Christmas Eve service, and the Wiggles are going to go down with Carol. You can tell Christmas is very, very close. That is a lot of energy and a lot of excitement. So today we're going to continue our journey to Bethlehem, from Nazareth to Bethlehem, to the birth of Jesus. And through the story, we've been hearing the story of all the people in the biblical story to discover how God is working in their lives, and then also think about and reflect on how God is working in our lives today. This series is based on the book The Journey by Adam Hamilton. And so the first week we heard Mary's story. Mary was a young Palestinian Jewish girl from a working class village called Nazareth. And she is the one that God chooses who will be the one who brings birth to Jesus, the one who will bring peace and hope and salvation to this hurting and broken world. Last week we heard Joseph's story. His story of heartbreak and working through the pain to discover courage and compassion and hope after his encounter with God's messenger. And this morning, we're going to journey with Mary and meet her cousin Elizabeth. The women's story is found in the first chapter of Luke's Gospel. And I love how these two stories of these two different women are woven together in this beautiful way to tell us something about what God is doing in the world. And the story begins with Elizabeth. And her pregnancy story, if you've read other stories from the Hebrew scriptures, her pregnancy story parallels the stories of Sarah and Hannah. And Elizabeth is like those women because she's in her older age and she has been barren. She's not been able to conceive a child. So when the angel Gabriel announces to her husband, Zechariah, that Elizabeth will conceive and bear a son, it's almost unbelievable. Zechariah was a priest. He was serving in this sanctuary when he's visited by the angel. And then when Elizabeth conceives, oh, and he's silent too, after the encounter with the angel, he can't say a word. But then Elizabeth conceives, and she replied, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." The husband and wife proclaimed together the good news of God acting in their lives and God acting in the world. And following this announcement, we hear the story of Mary's pregnancy. She is visited by the angel Gabriel, who announces that she will become pregnant with God's son. And God is calling Mary to an unprecedented task, to give birth and bear God's son into the world. So after receiving this news, Mary travels to Elizabeth and hears the story from the first chapter of Luke. In those days, Mary set out with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and proclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." When Mary arrives and greets Elizabeth, we hear twice that the child leaps in her womb. So we know that between these two children, before they are even born, that there is a kinship and a spiritual connection. And it is at this moment, this precise moment in the story, when Mary sings her song of praise to God for the amazing things that God is doing in the world. So let's read the scripture together. "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Mary proclaims God's praise. This passage is commonly referred to as Magnificat because of the opening verse of the song where she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." She is looking at what God is doing, and she is magnifying what God is doing, what God has done for her, and what God continues to do to change the world. She provides a different vision of what God has in store for the world when she says God will bring down the powerful from their thrones and lift up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. This is a song of praise. And this Christmas season, we too sing songs of praise. We sing Christmas carols. Do you know what a Christmas carol is or why they're called Christmas carols? Betsy?
Well, I don't know what else, but the word carol means to dance.
The word carol means to dance. It's French. I was hoping someone. And it literally means to dance. And there is a tradition back in the Middle Ages where in France people would gather together in dancing circles and they began to sing the songs that we now have come to know as Christmas carols. They're songs of praise and joy and exuberance, and they're meant to be embodied through dance. So this morning, as we hear the message from Scripture, I'm going to invite you to sing Christmas carols along the way as a way to express praise and joy for what we see God doing in the world. So we're going to weave these two stories together so that we can experience God's presence. So as Mary proclaimed her Magnificat, the powerful will be brought down from their thrones. And it was not the powerful who praised Jesus at his birth, but the people of the lowest social and economic status, the shepherds. Luke imagines a world where power is literally turned upside down, and it is the small, vulnerable baby Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, through his death and resurrection, becomes the Savior of the world. And while this is a beautiful song, it is a challenging one. Mary's song is sung for those who are grieving this holiday season, that God will lift you up. It is for the poor, that you will be filled with good things. And it is challenging to those who are wealthy, who are happy, and who are comfortable. The song encourages them to sacrifice, to be humble, and participate in God's realm by filling the poor and lifting up the lonely. This song of reversal rejects the Hallmark card holiday scene in favor of building relationships amongst God's people, turning the world upside down.
What child is this who begs to rest?
Oh,
The story about God is situated in the real world. Luke names the political power brokers of his day, and this is the world into which the Christ child is born. So when we read the Christmas story and when we sing, "O little town of Bethlehem," this isn't what we picture. We love the Christmas card image of the sleepy little town with open streets and a gentle, rustic stable. The fact is, there was a huge contrast between the poor of this little village and the powerful who were holding court in Jerusalem, and the Caesar in Rome. It is no accident that Luke names the political power brokers of his day. The Emperor Augustus ruled over most of the Mediterranean world, and Augustus was called a man of peace. But his definition of peace was very different. His definition of peace was that every empire, his empire, would move over the face of the world, and for Rome, peace was about victory, military and economic security. When the angels came, they came to Bethlehem. They gave their performance for a group of shepherds who, in a place of poverty, were the poorest of the poor. In the middle of the night, filthy, dirty, and stinky from their work, it was to them, to the lowest of the low, to the insignificant, the forgotten people of the empire. It is to those people that God chose to reveal a new plan for the world. Shalom means, the Hebrew word for peace. It really means well-being, justice, and good news for all people. It is the kind of peace that happens when God sits on the throne of the world and not Caesar. It's the kind of peace that Mary sings about in the Magnificat, a song that's to be sung in concert with the angel chorus. This is not the kind of hope that's printed in a Christmas card, but the kind of hope that challenges empires and it changes lives. It is not a hope that ignores the pain of the world in favor of looking forward to heavenly bliss. Instead, it's about following Jesus in a mission, about relationships, about breaking down those barriers, about creating peace and hope in our world that makes God's kingdom a reality. Just as Christians have been proclaiming this bold vision of God's kingdom ever since the first century, we too proclaim this radical vision of our resurrection faith every time we sing. And the prisoners will be set free. So the world will be turned upside down, and there will be peace and justice on earth. Amen. And it is with that joy, with that peace, with that love that we all come.